Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. This is the podcast where I connect with pals and we talk about touring, we talk about snacks, we talk about the music industry. Sometimes we don't talk about the music industry, but sometimes we do. And, I'm just trying to have a fun time, okay? I'm just trying to actually talk to people every now and then, you know? The podcast is a nice excuse. Okay, today's guest is, this is very exciting, Sky Wallace and I are going to have a conversation, and you're going to hear it. Okay, this intro, Sky Wallace, you deserve a better intro than this. What am I doing? You know what? I'm rolling with it. We talk about snacks. We talk about co-writing. We talk about self-care. It's a very fun conversation, so let's get right to it. Today's guest is the very talented Sky Wallace. Sky Wallace, I'm so happy that you're here on Zoom with me.
It's so nice. Yeah. It's really nice.
You were like one of the last few shows that I experienced in real life.
Wow.
Your show. We just like a little backstory for the listener. And listener, also thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Sky Wallace played in a church in a small town, which we shall not name. We'll leave it a secret. And I was at that show before the pandemic hit, and it was amazing. It was a Halloween show. It was very weird. It was very fun. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Your set wasn't weird. I don't mean that. I just mean the context of the
absolutely,
show.
Absolutely. No. Also, like, down to be a little weird with the set, too.
Your set was awesome. It was so much fun. I think about that show a lot.
It was freaking awesome. Like, I feel like it was right as winter was setting in.
Yeah.
So it was like very, very like cool, spooky vibes for the Halloween theme.
Yeah, actually, I feel like that was like a weird weather thing too, because like we had like a kind of like a freak storm right beforehand. Like, I guess it's also, right. I don't know, it is Halloween, and like I feel like prairie kids are used to like having their Halloween costumes like either covered up by their like snow gear, or like you have to get a costume that fits over top of your winter jacket. Like, I feel like that is common, but for some reason though, I feel like this snowstorm did surprise me, because I remember like you were gonna sleep in this house that was like not heated. and then like once like we kind of like got things settled and like everyone like loaded into the like the venue to play, I was like, you should all just stay in my house, because this is like,
we piled onto your floor. It was so fun. And then you fed us like into the wee hours as we were on the floor. We were just like munching on snacks. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh, I missed that so much. So I have a really tiny house. It's like a little one bedroom house, and we just had like totally like sleepover style people like set up on the floor, and I can't remember what snacks we were having, but I do remember like
there was a Pop-Tart.
The fall of 2019, I went through a really big Pop-Tart phase, actually.
It's a good phase to have.
But like never really for breakfast. They were like party Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Like late night. Pop-Tarts.
I don't know the last time I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast, but like 10 p.m. when the mood hits, like those Pop-Tarts. Yeah.
And they're the perfect snack.
They are. They're very satisfying. This is not sponsored by Pop-Tarts, but it could be.
Like, the future is vast.
Yeah. If we ever do a tour together and it's sponsored by Pop-Tarts, it will not be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah.
But I remember too, like the next morning you had to be on the road early, and I had made like it's not really a quiche because there's no crust, but it's just like a big egg dish. Like, you just like, you know, you put a bunch of eggs, you saute some vegetables, you get the cheese, you put it in a big casserole dish, and then the next morning you pop it in. I think it takes like 45 minutes to cook still. So you all had to get up really early. And I remember like trying to sneak by everybody to get to the kitchen, oh preheat God. The oven at like 6 a.m. or like 5:30. It was like really, really early. And I was like just starting to see somebody. Like mm-hmm. we weren't dating yet or anything. And I remember mm-hmm. like he got up to help me with that. And I remember thinking like, what a nice fella.
Yeah.
What a nice absolutely. Guy.
And he was... we were blown away by that. It was honestly so good. So kind.
And just like making a bunch of coffee. Everyone's packing up, like getting ready to go. And there's just like egg dish everywhere, coffee everywhere. I remember like giving everybody vitamins. Like, oh, I miss that yeah. so much, Sky. Like, this is like, this, that's what I used to love about like touring. But then also like whenever I was able to like host somebody and like give back yeah. some of the love that like I've been given on the road, I like, that just like fills my cup so much. And also Devin mm-hmm. your guitarist and like also producer, right? Like
yes yeah
it really bonded with Shiloh, my dog.
Yeah. It was very, very nice to see.
That was so sweet. And yeah, that was just a really great time. Sorry, I'm just like spending the first like 5 or 6 minutes, however long this has been, just talking to you about like how much I loved that show and going down memory lane, because that's
reminiscing.
Yeah. Oh, I just I miss those days.
I know.
Do you have do you have like some of those like specific memories or shows that you've just like have reflected on a lot during, especially like during the lockdowns time, like those memories that were getting you through?
Yeah, I mean, that last tour that we did had a lot of really fun times and a lot of just like big heart moments that I think really like it made me miss it a lot. I think also like I know like a lot of artist folks that I've talked to about this saw the pandemic as like, you know, totally awful in many, many ways, but there's also like an element of rest that was able to happen for the first time in, for most people, like a long time, because everybody's burning out and like trying to hustle the art and everything. And I think like having that space from it, while it was really difficult and has been, it still is difficult, you know, it's good to have the rest and to like have a better relationship with touring, to want to do it instead of like, you know, be having fun while doing it, but like feeling just like so tired and like ripped apart emotionally when you're at the end of your cup. So it's a little bit of both. But definitely we also had a show in February, right before everything, like the end of February before everything locked down. So it was like a nice last one to ponder on.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember seeing that show in February on social media. Was it the Horseshoe?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked rad.
Yeah, it was fun.
yeah. Yeah. I feel you on that. You know, like even just like we are reminiscing about, you know, you playing a show and like staying at my house and like how awesome that was. But like mm-hmm. also too, probably everybody slept, what, 5 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. So that's also like, yeah, like you're having, you know, pieces of Pop-Tarts like offered to you till the wee hours of the morn. And then, you know, within a few hours, you got, you know, egg stuff being thrown at you, like you're not sleeping very much on tour.
No,
you
know, like it's true.
There's like so much nice stuff that happens, but it's also like it is a grind. And yeah. I actually I thought it was interesting how you did a YouTube live with I believe Dr. Anita Shack. Is that
Anita Shack? Yeah.
Yeah, Anita Shack. And
she's wonderful.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I thought that was really cool that you made that happen in your space and like had that conversation about you know, anxiety and self-care.
Yeah.
Are there any like self-care practices that you did pick up like during the pandemic? And I'm not trying to phrase that as if we're out of it, because we're clearly not out of it.
Absolutely.
But
not.
Like,
yeah.
During the time in the pandemic so far, are there any like new self-care practices that you've picked up that you're like, I want to apply this to touring when we are in that grind again?
Yeah, big time. I think like I really had to kind of come face to face with my anxiety over the last year, just because everything else fell away and you're in this space with your thoughts. And then it just like has been something that I needed to face for a long time. And so like did a lot of work to just like, just kind of acquire a tool set. And actually one of the things that I did was a course that Anita put on through, I think it was Art House. But just like, you know, it was a course on just like self-care and like regulating, things like panic and anxiety and like little things that you can do to add to your toolkit. Like meditation or just like quiet time, like very intentional quiet time has been a big thing that I think like I just want to have going forward. I like wanted to incorporate it into my life for the foreseeable future, including like touring time, I think is especially important. And then I started running as well, just for the brain. Like it's been a really helpful thing for me, just like getting a clear headspace and a good headspace. So yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure. But I think overall, like it's a good thing. It's been a good growing experience, and I think like a more sustainable way forward. You know, when touring becomes more of a thing again, like I want to be sustainable. I want to be healthy and love it every moment. So yeah, those are my things.
It is it's like it's wild how exercise can help your like for me, I find it's like overwhelming how big of a difference it actually can make and makes for me. Yeah. I'm just like, wow. So when we tour again, I need to find a way to incorporate this like intentional movement. And yeah. I actually don't really know what that looks like yet, because I do so much I love home workout videos. Like,
yeah,
awesome. I really do love them. There's a nastiness to them though. And that's, I don't pay for YouTube. I don't have a YouTube subscription. Therefore I get all the ads, and it's so annoying to me how it's like, I want to do something that's intentional movement. I want to move my body in a way that feels good to ultimately help my mental health. And yet I get bombarded with these diet ads along the way. It's just like,
oh my God,
I hate that so much. But I you know, and I'm fortunate that I am in like a better state with my health, that I can just like flip them off and swear at the ad and then like, you know, wait the 8 seconds because I'm, you know, don't want to spend money.
Yeah.
And then hit skip ad. But it's just like so annoying that those two worlds are so closely tied, because they shouldn't be. And it's just like, I just hearing you talk about how you incorporated running into your life for your mental health is just like, it's just really nice to hear, because you know, growing up, that certainly wasn't the messages that I was getting, or that, you know, a lot of people were getting, like, hey, like this is actually like can be really good for your mental health, you know.
Totally.
And like it can, you know, divorce it from all that like diet culture baloney,
absolutely
nonsense, bad stuff.
yeah, totally. And it's like a good thing to be like, have a healthy relationship with, when it's like the mental health relationship. It just, it's so, because I've had like points in my life where I've definitely been had issues with like over exercising and just like fixating on that side of things. And just like, it's nice to just have a very chill relationship where it's like, this is for my brain, and my brain feels a lot better when I do this. And I don't, it, like you said, like being in a better headspace when that kind of comes up, when, cause it's so tied into, and it's insidious too, because they want you to be vulnerable. They want you to be in that space where they can wheedle their way in, because that's how capitalism works. And it's so like,
So. No, it's gross. It's so gross. And and the pandemic has been so hard too for folks with eating disorders, because we have felt so out of control. So, and I don't want to get too much into that, but it's just like, it's been such a heavy time. So I really do like appreciate you talking openly about, you know, self-care and mental health, especially during this time. And again, like, I thought it was really cool that you brought on Dr. Anita Shack onto your channels to have that conversation. And I think something that's been really interesting to see is, because, you know, we haven't been so like tour, live show, live mm-hmm. show, live show, which I feel like you toured a lot before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. I toured a lot before the pandemic hit. And then we've had this time to almost like show different parts of ourselves on social media, or like what else, like what what else do we do besides like always post photos of ourselves with like guitars and talk touring? Because like so much of my social media beforehand was mainly just come to my show.
Totally. Show announcements, like here's what's coming up. But to actually connect with people on like a kind of almost person to person level, it's just it cracks all that open, and I think the potential is richer conversations and like interactions with people and like just going forward, that's something that I'll want to incorporate, kind of a little bit of both. I think it's important.
No,
that's totally right. I hadn't even thought of that, but that's absolutely a thing that's happened.
Yeah, and like for better and for worse, right? Like
yeah.
You know, like there's some folks that like I'm like, oh, I didn't realize you believed that until like we've had these like big conversations and have had to have big conversations, and like unfortunately, you know, health has been you know, made so political and whatnot, but anyways, so what's your relationship like with social media right now? Because you've always done a really great job at it.
Oh, thank you.
Like I don't know, I'm just gonna be a total social media nerd right now and confess that I do this, but like there are other artist pages that I look to be like, oh, how are they doing this? And you're like one of those people that I would look at. Well,
that's so I mean, it's reciprocated for sure. I love your social media.
Just all caps.
That's what means a lot.
I'm just always yelling. I'm just always yelling. No. But like,
why? Like, if you have the option to be all caps or not, why would you not? You know.
But like, how? What's your relationship like with social media right now?
It's interesting. I've really fluctuated with it over the course of everything, and I think right now I'm at a spot where I feel pretty good. But like, I really need to separate myself. Like, I need to give myself space from it. So like, I've started incorporating like weekends where I don't actually look at social media at all. Cause like, there is that element. And I think it stems from like, you know, when you're booking shows and when like, there's so many, like you wear many hats and you're juggling many things as the artist life. And if you aren't on your email or socials for like, you know, a couple of hours, you feel like everything's going to fall apart, or like something's going to happen. Like someone's going to be like, you missed the show, or something, like something weird and terrible that you've forgotten is going to happen. But it's been a really good demonstration that like nothing bad happened, you know, like I took a couple of weekends and trying to do more of it where it's just like taking a back seat and just chilling and not, and being in the world, just clear headed, and it's been awesome. And I do love, I think social media has a really like good place in a lot of ways. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff, but I do think that it has a lot of power and impact. But I think, yeah, having the time away has been really good. And I think that's something I want to continue with, even though we've got to be on it. It's one of those things, but it made me feel a lot, I guess, healthier with it. Cause it's easy to just constantly scroll and check in all the time, and it's weird. I'm getting a bit of a tizzy.
I hear you on that, and I feel like I actually, like, I had a partner once who was really kind of like critical, would criticize how much I would check my email. And like, maybe he had a good point, but also I was like, this is like where my money comes from though. Like, people email me and say, do you want to play the show? And I go, absolutely. Yeah, you know? And so like, I would check it, but like, you mentioned something about like missing a show and like that being a fear that like you would miss a show. I used to have a reoccurring dream about like not being able to get to the gig. And like, it wasn't the exact same dream, but it's like there would be all these obstacles, and like I would be running into people, and I'd be like, I need to get to the show, and like I would actually never get to the show. And this is a dream that I'd have quite often, but before the pandemic. I don't have that dream anymore, but like, did you ever have that dream?
Yeah, well, actually, like a lot. Definitely, because like I feel like I don't know. And there's just so much going on. And especially when you're like entirely independent, which like we all were at certain points, like there's a lot of things going on. And it's like, actually social media is pretty sweet, because like now there's stories posted about the shows coming up that you're just like, oh, I got, you know, I'm on that. Like, that's not going to be a problem. I'll remember that. But I do have like, so I have like a theater background. And I haven't done theater since I was like 20 or something, but I still have dreams where it's opening night and I haven't memorized my lines. I don't even know what the script is. And I still have it. It's wild. I haven't done it in like 10 years or more, but like it still gets in there. I'm just like, it's so stressful. Don't like it.
How young were you when you started theater then? How is this so deeply ingrained?
Yeah.
Because you've done, like, not only have you not done theater for 10 years, but you've done so much stuff since then. Like, you've done so many tours with the band, with, you know, solo, with other artists, like, and like around the world, you know, done residencies and like remote locations. How is like the theater world so deeply ingrained there, Sky?
I mean, like, maybe it was just truly such a bad fit.
Okay.
It was really, I think, not suited to me. It really did stress me out in a lot of ways. And I think like, I really liked it. It was really fulfilling, but I do think like the musical aspect took over at a time that was really conducive. I was doing it, but like from when I was a teenager, I did 1 year of university and I was doing some plays, there, but, I think, the road forked and that's okay. But yeah, it still has this little hanging on every once in a while with my dreams. So
maybe it's like, you know, like that time though, like when you're a teenager, like late teens, early 20s, like years move slower. Like maybe things just have like a bigger impact then too.
Totally.
I don't know. Maybe it's like just like a really impressionable time. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just thinking about like my own experiences then.
No, I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's totally right. It's because when you're that age too, like that, say you do something for a year, like that's a large portion of your life at that point.
Yeah. And like now it's like the fall 2021 and I'm still waiting for summer 2020 to happen. So like I'm all.
Yeah, totally. It's like it's up. March 520th, 2020, right?
No, I know. Yeah. It's so bizarre, but, as you know, at the time of us recording this podcast, you do have some big dates coming up.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I'm, you know, it's a weird point because like, you know, still very transition period and like we're still seeing how things are going to play out. But like, yeah, the prospect of like doing these shows, I don't know. I think like the possibility is, it's pretty awesome. And I do think that it could happen. Like the venues and like the people putting it on are pretty stringent with like restrictions on like having a negative test or being vaccinated. And like, it's, we'll see, but I'm like really excited about it. Cause it's like a tour of like rock venues that I just like love to interact with. And it's with this band Crownlands, who are like incredible. And like, I've been a big fan for a long time. So I think it's going to be very sweet.
Very cool.
Not to sound so trepidatious. I shouldn't.
Well, it is like a weird, it is a weird transition time, like you mentioned. And it's just like, I feel like everyone's like, you know, cautiously optimistic right now.
Yeah,
hopefully
exactly.
Trying, you know, to be. And, but it is hard though, when you're seeing on social media, like other artists having to cancel things, either due to just like safety concerns or like someone on their team is like, you know, tested positive or you know, unfortunately got sick. So, it's just, it is hard to stay optimistic, but I'm sure your shows are gonna happen, your tour's gonna happen, and you're gonna have so much fun.
Yeah,
on that tour, like, what's your lineup? Are you taking the whole band?
I'm taking the four piece, so just like a kind of condensed version. Gina is also busy. My keyboardist Gina, who's awesome, is also busy during that time, so it worked out. But we did start off as a five piece of just more of like a straight ahead rock and roll thing. And yeah, it'll be great. It's been a while, but I think it's like, yeah, it's the last tour that we did was with Matt Mays across Canada, and it was in theaters. So it was like a sit down situation, which, like, you know, it's great to like try new dynamics and be versatile and all that. But like, it was definitely different from what we typically do. So it'll be nice to play venues and spaces that we kind of like know exactly how to interact with, and like, and just have that higher energy. I mean, who knows actually what it'll look like with everything, but like, right. Yeah, I did do one show inside and it was at the Horseshoe, and it was seated. Which was interesting. Oh, okay. It's just like a totally different setup.
Did they have plexi up?
Not in front of us, but if there were tables that were like relatively close together, then they did have plexi.
Okay.
Up. Yeah.
Interesting.
Felt pretty controlled. Like, yeah. What's your experience been with that so far?
Like, well, actually, we need to take a short break, and then we'll pick up on the other side of this short break. So if you want to hear about my experience so far, stay listening, folks. That's not the greatest segue, but we'll go with it. Okay. Talk very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Today's guest is Sky Wallace. You are listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Now, more of my conversation with Sky Wallace. And we're back. More of my conversation with Sky Wallace.
Yes.
And right before the break, which might have, if you are listening on community radio, that might have been a few minutes. If you're listening on the podcast network, or wherever you listen to your podcasts or whatever, it could have been, you know, a matter of seconds. But before we took the break, Sky, you just asked me about what my experience playing shows live so far.
Yeah,
what it's been like. And I'll say this, all of my shows so far have been outdoors. Mm-hmm. So I actually, by the time this airs, I will have done a few indoor shows, but at this point I've only done outdoor shows, so that is like a different experience. Mm-hmm. We opened for Serena Ryder at the Conexus Arts Center in Regina, and that was like they had an outdoor stage there. But that was like the first time I'd seen that many people together in a long time, because I think that was like over 1,000 people, and like everybody was like kind of like spaced out and like were seated for the most part. Like people had lawn chairs and stuff, and I think there was even like a vaccine clinic there. That's what a friend told me. Wow. A friend told me that they're like, yeah, people were getting like their shots while you were playing. I'm like, what? Cool. Okay.
That's cool.
That's neat. I wish I could have that just with me, you know, like,
like, oh my God, a traveling station. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I haven't had experience indoors yet. And like, I feel like Saskatchewan, you know, we haven't had any really like any restrictions since July. And now venues are taking it upon themselves to implement some kind of policies, because we want to keep working and we want to keep doors open.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll see what it's like. But like, were you nervous for your first show back, or was it just like, heck yeah, I'm just ready to get out there?
I was a little nervous that like just all of the logistical side of things would impact like the joy of the show, or just like, you know, the intuitiveness of the show, but it really didn't. It was just like, you know, I mean, there were a lot of people who were like working to make sure that it was a really safe situation and it was like really organized and like everybody there was really just like kind and like everybody was looking out for everybody else. So it was like, it was totally great. It was just like, it had the same feeling as a regular show, even though there were some, you know, little differences in place, but it was awesome. I just like, if anything, we were just like a little too excited. We were like vibrating, like jumping up and down all the time. Yeah. So it was good. Yeah. Good to be back.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. I can so relate. It's like for like 45 minutes, I almost forget there's a pandemic. Like I get like, yeah, you know, especially with these outdoor gigs, because it's, yeah, I just like, oh gosh, it feels so good to be back. And like, I am a better person when I'm playing music for people, and I hate to admit that, but it's just like, wow, do I get grumpy? You know, it's,
yeah,
like, I just absolutely, like, live music is so, it's so important. It's just like that, yeah, feeling of community, those nights, mm-hmm, those moments that just like fill up your cup and fill your heart and remind you that we all have like so much more that like that bonds us than yeah, divides us, you know, like those, like that's yeah, what live music does for me. It just reminds me of like, oh no, there's so much good in the world. You,
yeah,
know,
absolutely, yeah, that's absolutely true. It's been hard to have those moments stripped away, and yeah, it like makes coming back to it so intense, but like intensely good.
Yeah,
yeah, dang. I think I'm a better person when I'm playing music too. Dang, never thought about it that way.
I also feel like I'm at my happiest when I'm like playing music with my friends, and like feeding people, and like having, you know, like just like so many people like crammed into my house, all these things that are like not pandemic friendly at all, you know, yeah, like
yeah,
I miss like the little cramped house shows too, of just,
oh God,
you know,
yeah,
like where you know like your spittle,
yeah,
it's just like getting like the first like three rows of people, because where you're just so cramped, it's like you're, yeah, just, your aerosols are everywhere.
Oh, it's all one big aerosol.
Yeah,
everybody's yeah, yeah.
And it's like the winter time, so there's no windows open, and it's just like there's just so much. Or like the sweaty basement shows where it's like the sweat is like falling down on you from the roof.
That's, yeah, that's such a wild phenomenon. You're like, what liquids are these?
Yeah.
Where'd they come from?
Those were the days. Yeah, I miss that.
I remember like one of my last shows that I saw was Helmet. And it was like this just heavy, like so tightly packed, sold out show. And at first I was like, but it was like the music was so like, so heavy. And like, everybody was just like in it. And it was just like, everybody was like touching, moving into each other. And I was like, this is cool. And then like, you know, the rest happened.
Yeah.
But there's something about it. It's kind of magical.
It is magical. Like, that's like, those are the moments where I actually like do believe in magic, like, you know, just like that marriage of like intention and energy, and like just like, mm-hmm, yeah, that's when I do, it's like very spiritual for me. And when I don't have that, I get really grumpy. And
yeah,
and it's like, yeah, it's been so challenging to like, I'm like aware that I'm not my best self. Like, it's been like a really hard time for everybody, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm just like not the best person I could be right now. And it's like, it's been interesting too, because I've been like, at the start of the pandemic, my partner, like the person who did sound for you at your show when you played here,
yeah,
who was dressed, yeah, as the cheese slice,
right?
So cheese, he ended up moving in like right at the start of the pandemic, because,
oh, wow,
we were like, because he got a job in the area, and then it was like he wasn't allowed to live where they were gonna have him living because of the pandemic, so he's like, need a place, right, to live. And I was just like, you know, broke one of my rules, which I feel like falling in love, that's what it is. It's like, who are you gonna break all your rules for?
Yeah, I'm absolutely,
I'm not saying don't have boundaries, I'm not saying that,
totally,
but like, you know, when you're like, I'm never gonna move in with somebody before,
yeah,
you know, like blah blah blah,
yeah.
It's like, oh, like, okay, hello, like, here, yeah, you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, we've been like establishing this foundation of a relationship together like during this pandemic, cool, which has been really beautiful. But it's also like, I will admit, I'm not like, I feel like I'm not my best self right now. Yeah. So the fact that he's still hanging out with me during this, I don't know, says a lot.
I mean, I went through a very similar situation where like I was deliberately trying to be like very slow paced with like a newish relationship. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, am I not going to see you or am I going to see you?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a lot. So we moved in together and like we still live together, which is great. And it turned out, but like it really could have not. It really could have gone really bad. So I'm glad that it turned out, but yeah, it's a lot. And it's a lot to like constantly be spending time together. There's no like going out and seeing. And like, I know like my partner had a job the whole time. I didn't, cause I was just like hanging out. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's like the, just like the symptoms of capitalism, like the feeling unproductive and that you're not doing anything with your days is like really taxing on, I know, like my moods and like everything. Just it compounded into like a lot of bad days, and also to have somebody juxtaposed who is like doing stuff and able to be productive, and that it was difficult for sure. Not that like I think being productive is like not necessary, and I think everybody needs to like, especially during something like this, which is so traumatic in so many ways, like I think it's important to not be productive or feel like you have to be, but it was challenging for sure.
Yeah, I hear you on that, and I had a very similar situation. My partner was also working, and I feel like as someone who has spent the last, you know, I feel like I decided I wanted to play music and write songs for a quote unquote living when I was like 17, right? So I've been like, you know, decided that, and then, you know, been working in different ways, you know, around in the industry for like 13 years, and then to not be able to do that, at least not in the same way. And like, I don't know if this is because we also like market ourselves, but like my self-worth was so tied up with my career, and that's so not healthy, but and I always knew that, like in the back of my brain, I'm like, and if I had a bad day, I was going through a breakup or like going through something, I was just like, well, I'm just gonna go play a show, and like for 45 minutes I'm untouchable. No one can hurt me for 45 minutes. I'm in control. Like there's all this stuff.
It's your own little safe space. Yeah.
And then when that's gone and you just have to deal with like yourself and be a, like, just like be like a human and just like, not saying you're not a human when you're on stage, but like, just like, you don't have that release. You don't have that escape. And like, when you just have to like actually like deal with it and deal with your stuff and like your insecurities. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
What a time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's that kind of thing too, where like the advice that you'd give a friend would be like, like take time away from it. Like don't have your self-worth entirely wrapped up in this thing that is also your job. And it's all very complicated, but that's advice that you would never take for yourself because we're horribly critical. And sometimes it feels like our brain's against us.
Yeah.
As artists, as people generally, I think.
Yeah.
I think everybody goes through that. It's not nice to ourselves.
No. Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks for letting me share that with you.
But that's
like, that's just a part of like some really uncomfortable things that have come up to the surface in the last, you know, I don't know how long it's been anymore. I haven't done like I haven't like counted the months.
Kind of like a year and a half ish.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Year and a half ish. Yeah. Yeah, that's I know that some folks have been writing a lot during this time. What's your relationship to creativity like right now?
It's good. It's actually like I think I've renewed a bit of I was really kind of anti-creative at the beginning. I just like didn't want to touch my guitar at all. Even singing was like, and I sing constantly. It's like kind of annoying to most people around me, but I like do it without even thinking. But I just kind of like stopped for a bit. I just like wanted space and time. And I did that. And more recently I've like I kind of like faced a big fear of mine, which has been co-writing. And like, I started to do it because I was like, this is something I want to get better at. It's something that, like, you know, having more songs under the belt is like not a bad thing. And like, there's all these cool people that I know that I want to write with. And like, I like, there's so many more that I want to write with as well. And like, I want to try it. So I started doing it with some pals and just like people that I've, you know, worked with in the past on other things. And that's been really awesome for the creative flow. Like, I feel like I'm so deeply self-critical, as I think like a lot of artists are, that like when I'm writing something, there's so many times where I'm like, this is garbage. I'm going to throw it out. Like, why am I putting more energy into it if I'm not already there? Which is like such, that's like such an, like not conducive to like putting the art out, in my opinion. But like when there's somebody else there, you're just like, you're getting stoked on each other's, just like what each other is bringing to the song. And there's this constant, like, you're not allowed to get down on yourself because there's always the other side, someone like bringing you up, and you kind of like play off of each other's energy, like, and in each other's moods. And it's just like, it is really awesome. And I was so afraid for so long, cause like just the self-doubt was too much for me. And I didn't think I had anything to offer, or like a skill set that would be conducive. And it's just been really awesome to be like, there's also like a bit of a freedom to it where like, if you get together with somebody and it's not working out, or like the connection is not there, it's just, you know, not a great day, that doesn't matter. It happens. And then you just like try again later. And it's like that happens frequently for, I just like, I guess talking to people about it, like that happens frequently for a lot of people who co-write. So like just took the pressure off, and like, I've been just getting a lot more comfortable with it. So I think like that side of creativity has been really interesting and just like exciting to me, of like challenging myself and trying something different and having it not be this like foreboding, scary thing hanging over me anymore. Yeah. So that's been pretty cool.
I love hearing you talk about co-writing in that way. Like that's, yeah, that doesn't like, yeah, allow you to do like the negative self-talk, because there, yeah, that other person's involved. Like that's, yeah, I really love hearing your perspective on that. When you were in Newfoundland, you were doing a lot of songwriting. Did that residency come about, and were you, so I'm assuming you were writing by yourself there, that was not a co-writing situation. You were just like, unless you were like co-writing with some spirits, was there some like ghostly stuff happening, or?
There were some vibes. So like this place that I did, it was kind of like, it was like a pilot residency where like I had played a show in this space it's in Grossmoor National Park in a place called Norris Point. And I was in touch with the person who is running the space. They have concerts there sometimes, but mostly it's like an operating, like there's physiotherapy and like, just kind of like stuff for the community in the first floor. And then upstairs there's like a hostel. But this building used to be a cottage hospital, and it just has like this wealth of like a history and all these stories of like the people from the community to learn about. And like, just, like the person who ran the center and I like just talked, and I was like, let's do like, can I do like a residency where I just come and be like inspired by the space? And it's like in like the most beautiful place in the world. And just like, you know, my part of my family's from Newfoundland. So the connection there was really like kind of heart, I don't know, just felt good for the heart for me. But yeah, there was definitely like a spookiness to the place. And I guess like there were some spirits there allegedly, but there had been way more spirits before this point when like, I guess two Peruvian shamans came through and they like did a bunch of just clearing of the space and like, helping spirits move on. And then from there were a lot fewer hauntings, so to speak.
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of a wild story, but I didn't have like any full-on spirit experiences where I like saw anything happen, but like there was a wealth of feeling and story and you know, place and people. It was really conducive to writing. And I wasn't co-writing at the time, but like I would love to do something like that again and bring like different people in and just have the space of creation. That would be so awesome.
So you were like sleeping in this place.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you the only person in the space?
Sometimes. Sometimes there would be people coming through, but like a lot of the times it was just me hanging out. And there were like, there's this museum room where there's all these like old like uniforms and all the implements that they used to use and like incubators and just like all this really cool equipment.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. It was very wild. And then I did a residency in the Yukon where I was also in a haunted house. And I was there all by myself for a month. And the person who was like showing me around initially, like showed me into one room. She's like, this is a bedroom. And she's like, this is another bedroom. And don't look into the mirror in this closet. We're just going to close this door, actually. And I was like, what?
No.
What? And like later on, I brought, I guess like a friend of mine stayed over in that room and nothing happened. But we were hanging out the next day with a friend who's with the Klondike Institute of the Arts. And the guy was like, oh yeah, there was like a ghost and it was telling me to get out, just like joking. And the person was like, oh, it wouldn't be telling you to get out. It would be telling you to come with it. Because I guess a bunch of people have had this experience where the ghost in the closet in this one room tries to bring you with it, wherever that is. And that is terrifying. So sometimes I slept in the living room downstairs.
Wow. Wow. Well, oh, wow. Okay. Well, good for you for being able to sleep at those spaces. I feel like, you know, you were talking about, you know, co-writing for the first time, but I think you were co-writing for the first time with like, with people who are living. I feel like you've done some co-writing with some ghosts before by the sounds of this. Yeah. I don't know if I could do that, Sky. Like my hat goes off to you because like I am so easily scared. Like I will like there's been, you know, I have a small house. I know when my partner's home, but if he's in like a different room than I thought he was and I'm walking in, I go, ah! Like I get so easily scared by just like him existing in a space where I wasn't expecting him to be. I think it's because I'm always in my head too. So I'm just like thinking, oh, whoa, hello.
Yeah.
Like Shiloh will startle me quite often too. I'm easily startled, you know, like a little dog. I'll be like, oh, I didn't know you were there. So goofy. So I don't know if I have the what would you say, that the temperament or whatever to be able to chill out in some of those spaces. I think
I don't know if I did either.
but you did it though, and you wrote some beautiful songs and you were involved with like Girls Rock Camp up in the Yukon too, right?
Yeah, that was so cool. It was my first time doing anything like that. And yeah, it was wicked. It's like, Dawson City is so cool. It has so much community. Like there's, you would think going up there that it's like, you know, minus 40 during the winter, but there's just like so much going on. Like you figure it'd be like, I'm going up there and it's remote and I'm not going to talk to people. I'm going to write. But it's like, there's so much, like there are things going on every night. There's like Girls Rock Camp. There's all these cool programs. There's like adult Girls Rock Camp as well for people who don't know instruments who are like looking to learn them. And because I think that's so important to have that space. And there's just like, there's so much stuff. There was curling like crazy.
Nice.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was a really cool time.
Oh, that's really cool. I do love it when like communities in like more, I guess you could say like extreme climates, just like really find ways to still like, have gatherings when it's safe to do so. In outdoor gatherings. Like I remember, you know, when I was telling folks like down in Saskatchewan, when we also experience extreme cold, but it's like, well, you know what they do up in Yellowknife? Like they like create this like the snow castle, and they just like they gather in the snow castle and they have these festivals there. And it's like, I wish that we would embrace the cold like they do, you know, but we're like, so but cool. I feel like I'm also not a winter sports person. I'm sure someone listening that's like a hockey person would be like, Megan, we do embrace the cold, but I'm like, nah, it's not the same. I've never seen a snow castle with like live bands in it down in Saskatchewan, you know, like that's pretty amazing that they do that up there.
More snow castles.
More snow castles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the snow castle is really amazing up in Yellowknife. But yeah, so cool. Do you have any like writing residencies like in your future, or like a place that you would love to write in at some point?
I really do want to. I don't know what would be like. I'd love to go back to Nora's Point. I think that would be like really amazing to just like be in that space again, and that part of the world, like, it's just like so beautiful. I haven't got anything planned, but like that would be freaking awesome. Or just like getting out of the city. I have been my friend Matt Mays, he like moved out to Caledonia, which is like an hour outside of Toronto, and it's like in the country. And it's just like this big open barn area that he has. And we've been like just like getting together like every week or two with our friend Rolly and just like writing there. And it's been really nice to be like just kind of taken out of the city and just like having a space to write and like feeling, you know, like just like the wind over the fields and just like being access to like you can't hear traffic or anything. Yeah. Like that's been really like, it clears the head, and it's been really nice. So having that has been a really good thing.
Nice. But
I think that'll be something that I'm looking into for the future.
So when you're,
So no, that's all good.
So when you're in Newfoundland, what's your favorite snack? Is there like a specific snack in Newfoundland?
There is like the pineapple crush that I love, like the pop.
And can you only get that in Newfoundland?
I've only seen it in Newfoundland.
Ah, very interesting.
I think you could probably get it I think there's like a store that has like products from Newfoundland in Toronto, or like maybe a couple of like really niche stores, but like I haven't been able to find it. And I do really love it. Like that was my thing while I was there. It's just like, I just love it.
And then I guess like in the rest of Canada, what's your go-to tour snack?
Okay. Well, we always begin a tour. We call it the ceremonial cuse, but it's just a cucumber that we all like pass around the van and like crunch into. And then we call Subway Green Friend because it's like the beacon of like the green lettering. It's in every town in Canada. And it's like, you can get the breakfast wrap, which is just like egg and cheese in a wrap. And then you can stuff it full of veggies. It's so cheap and so yummy. And we like live on that. It's awesome.
I feel like this might be why I follow an account on Instagram that just has pictures of Subway breakfast wrap. That must be somebody involved in your circle.
I think so. It might be Devin. But I'm sure.
Skye, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you, pal. I look forward to when we can cross paths in real life again.
Me too. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Take care, pal.
You too.
Skye Wallace, thank you so much for the very fun conversation. Check out skyewallace.com, buy her merch, buy her records. You know the drill, dear listener. Thank you again so much, Skye Wallace. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Centre in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Centre is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, SaskArts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. And this podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies. Special thank you to the Garys for the theme music, the intro music, the outro music. And dear listener, have you listened to the Garys' new record yet? It's very good. I strongly recommend doing that. The Creative City Centre is a community-based art centre that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycentre.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all of this Pep and Ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you so much for listening. Bye now.